Sati, the incarna, folk, and those devoted to the godness endure the meaningless austerities of being cut and burnt. So why am so tamed, timid on the path of freedom? So this is Karna, I think it is same to those people who bear hardship and to can devote to different gods, and sometimes it's a very strange, and then also for us is maybe for some people it's taboo kind of a tradition. Like Wutu, I saw Wutu tradition, there are also animal sacrifices. Like most animal, doing animal sacrifice for Buddhist students, it's a little bit difficult to see that point meaning. If you say, oh, we kill this and then we are going to have a good kind of a future or wealth, have a happy family, or get rich or something, then we think this is the wrong approach, wrong way understanding the real meaning of how to be wealth. For example, if you see many poor country, especially doing these traditions, and then if you compare to wealthy country in Europe or America or Japan or other kind of wealthy country, they don't have much those animal sacrifices recently, especially now you compare in ancient time, I'm not sure. Then you can see directly, there is no direct link to wealth and animal sacrifice. But many people still believe it. And recently I saw some pictures people shared on website and social apps. In Kathmandu, every five years, there is a big sacrifice for slaughtering many, many animals. I think they say it's 250,000 animals are slaughtered in a few days, kind of a ceremonial kind of activity. And blood is everywhere, and many people watching, including small kids, and then big negative influences. We consider women are more or less have a more sensibility in their mind for the others' pain and the suffering. But in some shrine, they encourage women take those action, and then their body and then full of the blood and then killing, and they're using very heavy knife, I think Gorkha knife, that kind of, and then chop off goats or others' head. And then these animals, they don't seem have a, maybe they do have a, understand the fear and things. One by one, so many animals dying. Maybe it's like people too terrified, then there is no much action. It's like a war zone, wartime. People are just, many people not running, not saying anything, just kind of shrinking, or not shrinking, maybe if you're too much terrified, then you don't have a spirit to fight back or run, because you are there for killing or something like that. So this could happen. So for many terrified situation in public gathering and the people stone killing people, so these people are not yelling back. It's almost lose the consciousness or spirit to do anything. Almost you see people too much disappointment or sadness, they were kind of almost falling to sleep, but not. There are kind of no much choices. Seemingly, kind of their life aren't dependent on your hand, and then what else I can do? That kind of situation. And but for outsiders, we think, oh, you should run, or you should yell, or jump, or something. But it's a different situation, I think. So anyway, in different tradition and religions, even some people believe you kill other people which is not same faith, you're going to go to heaven to meet some pleasure, luxury of life after this. And this was suicide bombers. They were believing they directly go to heaven, and which they don't find good pleasure in this life will find in much more in heaven. So many people think this is a solution, go to heaven, especially young people. I think it's kind of a very, who said this? Human stupidity is no limit or something like that. It's like that, I think. But people can be trapped in those situations by force and also ideologies. So it's a similarly here. This is not about terrorists, but say many people who have a special kind of devotions and doing a lot of hardship, and then including cutting their flesh, themselves, body, and sometimes use kind of a metal to cut from here to here, or sometimes use stick or to kick yourself. And there's the meaning, definitely other kind of explanation. But here they're saying these are, the benefit is very limited. So it's a individual spirit and understanding that cannot measure, but generally you can say hardship bring benefit if there is a limit. And then we can I think in some tradition there is a ashes hot to kind of put your head, and then sometimes you kind of cross or step on some fire or burning some fuel. And you do these to purify yourself and to clean away your sin, or these methods. And in Buddhist, there is a kind of imagination. You could imagine you have a blessed by kind of deity or enlightened beings, then through their kind of generate the nectar or pure water, you can say, wash away your thin dirt on this, not the nectar karma, that kind of a visualization. And then you eventually, originally you are pure. They're saying if you don't believe you are originally pure, then visualizing those purified kind of a process is not much use. It's like a coal. It's like you're burning like a dark charcoal. If you say, if you want to wash charcoal and which charcoal become white, it's impossible. That's the same. If it's impossible, you make an effort, no meaning to do it. But for us, we have a foundation, faith, and the belief that basic nature of the mind, it's pure. So what is the emotion and the stinkiness of any thinking, thoughts? These are like cloud on the sky, but it's never really replace sky. Similarly, emotions and the thoughts are kind of passing by, kind of guests, they're coming and going. So there is a way to clean. Or you can say you wash your clothes or you wash your cup. It, because the cup and the dirt are separate, even that clothes and then sticking on it, but you have a faith, you can wash away that dirt. So similarly, in the mental defilement and the illusions are, can be turned away or change or can be this distortion can be end. So this way, practice make there is a space for practice and a meaning for practice. And then this, there is a saying for liberation, this kind of achieve enlightenment. We have a whole potential of enlightenment qualities. And that's why we say, as a, for Bodhisattva, who see a people, human, or other sentient beings, he cherishes them as a jewel, wishful, fulfilling jewels. The way they saw this potential, this is a kind of enlightened potential already in seeds of enlightenment everywhere, everybody, every sentient beings. So Bodhisattva see them as a treasure, even those treasures covered by other minerals. This like a diamond covered by a stone. But people who know there is a diamond inside, like Bodhisattva see ordinary people, there is a diamond, or there is a Buddha nature, everybody. So he sees them full of hope and same quality in the future as a Buddha or fully enlightened kind of beings. So the wisdom seeds and the good quality already there. So for this kind of enlightenment journey, take some hardship, including, he said, not hardship, but some degree. If you want to clean some dirty cup, you have to make some effort to clean it. Similarly, if you want to transform yourself from ordinary and those kind of turbulent, distorted kind of a situation, then yeah, there is a definitely need to make effort. But this is a worth to make that effort. Even this is for sake of not fully enlightened kind of approach, but people are cutting their body and they're burning their body, they can able to do that. So for more kind of a important goal, we should do that. Some suffering or some uncomfortable, get up early morning and do some meditation. Even you are tired or something, but you can continue to end some books to read every day. We can say for some small achievement in ordinary life, people want some special fame or income. They make a lot of effort in the morning to end. And like the same people working at a 7-Eleven or something, doing the, or people using box, and then box, it's a dangerous game or supports. And maybe it can injure brain, injure eye, and also nose, and many things, but they can do it for some money or name. I know like a rock climber, they risk their life for just kind of something. It's their own spirit, want to win, or this is their habits. But some, I think there is an often related to some fame in their circle, and also people try to make something push to a little bit extreme or higher to make meaning for life. Also, like student in first 15, 20 years, constant effort year by year, month by month, day by day, to achieve some degree of doctor or something. So these are worldly for temporary life, but they can do that much kind of work. And then also many people spending a lot of money for health and post the old age, getting slower, and then put a lot of energy and the time to exercise and eating healthy, try to buy things for that. Many nutritions and different degrees, ingredients. So for these, I think we think there is a limited kind of goal and not completely fundamentally transforming us, but we find some benefit from it. So we're going to put a lot of effort. But for the enlightenment itself, if people don't know, then there's no question or no kind of way to ask. But if they're people sure there is a mind, there is a God, the mind is not what you think, like it's a solid things. And mind means, I think the Buddha in one sutra said, mind, no mind, mind is luminous. That is saying, for general people, especially today, many people believe that there is no mind. There is a consciousness, but it's a product, byproduct, a brain, of brain. So for those, you recognize there is a mind, it's very important. What you experience and everything, you have this subjective experience. If there is a no mind, no self, no kind of whole kind of human or live spirit existent experience, these are, you understand very differently. That's why some people say they don't believe love because love is just a chemical reaction. It's hormone. So when you think, oh, I have a hormone in my mind, a hormone effect, that is a same physical kind of energy transforming or energy flow is, there is a kind of body-mind relation, very important. But doesn't mean it's just pure hormone itself. There is a cognitions to understand pain, pleasure, fear, hope, decision making, and imagination, or all these things. It's not that kind of a, you can say, just the brain alone. That is one angle. So Buddha said mind is very important, body and mind. There is a grosser and a subtle, that is, you can see there's a similar kind of interdependent each other, dependent each other. There is a separate functions too. So mind, it's very important, training the mind, changing your brain, essentially these days. You see that there is a second, no mind is the turning wheel of second time Buddha. After that, there is, if you see that there is a material, there is a mind, then starting clinging to the world, and then see me, mine, this very strong attachment, there is a base, because there is a solid mind, so I am subject to experience, that's why I become so selfish, or so violent, or anything, desire, or ignorant, there is a base. Self is there. So Buddha taught there is no, actually no self. That you can see from systematic analysis. And then you can see from paramita or transcendental wisdom teachings and the middle way, the school, they were talking about all these reasons and the experience of realization of that, and then that can logically be, and experientially and proof that there is no independent, absolute kind of existent mind. And then Vasu said the mind is luminous. That means the third. If you say mind is there for real, and then also more mind or that kind of, and then what is that experience is there? If you say no mind, we completely, what is there or experience and what we kind of knowing quality, knowing kind of a power, cognitive power, what is those same things I experienced, even though that is illusion, we can say there is an illusion. That then, third turning wheel of the teaching said, second is the emptiness, shunyata kind of teaching, and then not clinging to that realness and existence. And third, the wheel called wheel of teaching, is saying that is a basic kind of a luminous or quality. There's luminous, it's not light. What we're talking about, it's a knowing quality, purely, kind of pure knowing qualities. And then the essence of that is emptiness. And the appearance is non-knowing, and the appearances, existence, the looks, all existence, what we have is from those kind of a momentary kind of shift away kind of known qualities. And in Tantra teachings, it's all talking about those union of those two, emptiness and appearance, or kind of realization of knowing. And then there is a awareness and emptiness, and then form and emptiness, union of form and then emptiness. And then these kind of subject, joyful and momentary, there is emptiness of the great bliss in this state of some teaching. So for those kind of a deeper understand mind and everything to overcome all illusions, for that we make a lot of effort, it's worth for doing that. It's very, very meaningful, much more meaningful than just temporary kind of benefit.
There's nothing that does not grow light through habit and familiarity. Putting up with little cares, I'll train myself to bear with great adversity.
And this is a saying we should take more patience for practice and then study Dharma. And then everything, there's a Chinese story, I think it said, one person can, if they saw in a market or something, so I saw one old man, I think, selling oils. And then they arrest people who are watching. I think there's a older Chinese coin or money. It's a circle around, and in the middle is a square kind of a hole. But the hole, that point is like just a small. But this person, if selling the oil, then they can put bottle and then put that point, middle is whole, he can make oil go through that hole, but not touching the point, any in a circle, kind of in the middle, even not making that wet or oily. So, 就是说明生巧的故事，是不是？那个是，嗯，then. People may say, how you have a skill, very skillful man, you can do that. 他的那个故事是怎么样的呢?就是这样的。 And then, this is kind of a, 寓意,怎么说的? It's like a story, kind of a find some meaning in for kids, I think. Say, this is a, due to practice. When you do many, many times one thing, you become very skillful. And you have able to achieve and master that the upper hand in difficult situation, difficult things like zaji zhengzhu, circus, you know, like circus.
Circus?
Yeah, like doing like a piece or many, many things.
Circus.
Yeah, then these also similar, we can do practice through calligraphy and for most of people, if in the beginning it's difficult, but later it becomes easier. Even one person, you can see one person copying 500 or 700 pages of a book. But in the beginning, they write very poorly. And after you go to 700 or 600, 500, you can see the progress directly. If I copy very thick book from one page one, used to people do that, but nowadays I think due to computer and many, so not much people, it's print. And then you can see that improvement and the study language and everything is like that. There's a famous Tibetan master called Satya Panjabam. He said, do everything. Any situation, even you practice physical and mental and verbal practice, language practice, and all like that. If you continuously kind of practice, there's no kind of nothing you can learn or you cannot master, but you can master gradually. And handcraft, logic, and like math, and Dharma, it's also like that. And also, Master Nagarjuna, I think he also said similar kind of thing. Any merit, accumulate good deeds, is like also lack, it's matter of practice. If you practice more, you get more familiar. And if you're more familiar, you really enjoy it. That's why some spiritual practitioners, they were in a remote area or in their small place for many, many years. For normal people think, what are you doing here? Just yourself and then, it's boring. But for them, they have the taste of that practice and experience, then they have a very happy and they are not sacrificing or paying something, but they very enjoy that life in that way. And so it's merit and everything. So you, for example, we are practicing bodhicitta in this whole book in proper, then first, we have to imitate or even like fake bodhicitta. Very important. You're faking some love and gradually you have a capable to love. You have a fake smile, but later gradually you can be very kind of a sweet smile or come merge to gain practice. And then that's why some eating or drinking, walking, everything, there is a practice of linked towards practice of bodhicitta. In the mornings, for example, people who really seriously practicing the bodhicitta, as long as they open eyes, he think about the great bodhisattvas, what there seems like waking you up and thinking about these good qualities. Also, you can think about how precious human life and how that impermanent is, and also what is you've done for this life and the past life you cannot remember, but you reflect back to yesterday, this year, and this life, and thinking about, you know, not making decisions, not harming others as much as you can help others. Those kind of basic vowels, you know, go through your mind, and you improve yourself. And then some people even walking, they think walking towards enlightenment is, it's a just self kind of imagining. There's not really your walking door of enlightenment, but those make thinking, eating, when you're eating, you think, oh, this is the first, actually you are eating food, but you first letting the kind of offer towards noble beings, and also share. Some people even take a real food to outside some
Song Fu Jing Shu.
Wild animals, no? If you have a bowl of rice, in Tibetan traditions, so some barley flour, they always, some monks take some part to put some animal part you can throw away, and recite some mantra and good wish, and then they can put in somewhere birds or small insects, and also maybe other animal can eat. So there is a practice everywhere. Even you in a walking in a river or place, you can pray and look for those animals in the water, wish them have a good karma, that kind of. So even you have a parents give you a gift or clothing or something, you think or even you see city and lights and daytime, flower or trees, or even people have a good kind of looking or dressing, you have not tempt to kind of, you know, temptation, thinking of this is a good, but you think, oh, these all beautiful things are offered to all sentient beings, offer this good experience, wish them have a kind of a happiness, and including making that, it's not me first, but them first. Our ego is always our me so first, and what I like, I don't like, or I want this and that. For this kind of very strong attachment towards me and mine, it's gradually loosed, kind of become relaxed through that practice. Everything you hear, seeing, that is kind of gradually changing your attitude. And then that we say, as we said, eventually in a certain level, after long kind of practice, as I said, you become greater, and eventually fully kind of potential of qualities rises, like moon in the lunar calendar, first day, second day, third day, you gradually become round. So it's a all other qualities like that. So it's encouraged, actually. Good qualities you admire first, and recognize that value of good behaviors, good actions, deeds. And the second, you are encouraged to not only longing to that quality, but if you don't have a fully, no worry, you can make it gradually. That's why I say, one person said, if you are not in Kadamba teachings and others too, if you have a very kind of, some people are not due to wealth, but something very stingy. So it's one stingy make people very small, or there's not big enough kind of mind cover things. Even this kind of a overvalued material then make people jealous, make people kind of not having good relationship with people, not knowing how to kind of treat people, or sharing, or how to make a kind of outreach, you know, something. Outreach, right? Outreach means you can make business or social activities outreach. Or something. Yeah. You can make your own diplomatic relationship or something. They all kind of some relations with your how much kind of boundaries you set. If your boundary is very circle, very small, then you will kick out everything. If your boundary is large enough, then you have a big kind of activities. You can do it. So for this said, the stingy or some kind of, you can practice through left to right hand and left pocket to the right pocket. And that practice is kind of stupid, but it's useful. You say, it's like kids, they have a small level of understanding, but behaviors, they were, can fight for toys, but adult, most people don't fight for that. Similarly, if you are enlightened kind of beings, you can see that which kind of level you put those values, then you have a bigger kind of, you have less consequence or troubles raised by your own kind of narrow mind. So you can be a very big heart, big mind, or visions. So in a bodhisattva way of bodhisattva, we often try to enlarge our the aspirations and the wish and the intentions, motivation, big, very big. It's a very important, not trapped in a very small narrow mind. So even this life, maybe some people habituation difficult to change, but in life after life, you have a cultivate that kind of a great vision, reach to all sentient beings. Even that is unthinkable for most people. What is immeasurable or limitless. You can say it's non-dual because it's perfect. So, these practices gradually achieved by little step by step. Mm.
Can I see that this is so with common imitations? Lions and stings of snakes and flies, experiences of hunger and of thirst, and painful rushes on the skin.
So how much we can do that due to our own making kind of a decision, how much rejoice of Dharma teachings, and how much serious we study and accumulate those teachings, and also how we put our life and the teaching merge into kind of in our spirit. That very important. Sometimes it's a simple teacher more effective. If you reason too much and then say this and that, but still not shaking fundamental kind of self or the selfish motivation and everything. But if you say, because you are kind of a follower of the Buddha and if you become a good person, and then God or Buddha always see you in the sky or something. They are always watching you. And then people think, oh, each time we reflect on that, it's very important. It's like you have there's something, somebody you very care or love that is with you, then many reasons, many kind of, so for some people, not much, no needed reason. So more reason, more, what is it, complicated and also lost in those, thinking. Just thinking, not practicing or not really living in that way, but spirit, but just analyzing and thinking and then won't avoid any kind of suffering and those experience. I think many professors, it's like that, if you see. Without practice, we can being like that. We have the full potential become, you know, that reason, but you lacking of, you're not able to avoid that kind of trap. So that is very important to continue to practice. Examine yourself. Sometimes you do certain things and then to watch your own behavior for different situation come, and then to see what is happening and how I look like or what is my decision, and then what is that okay, or you are a follower of the Mahayana Bodhisattva kind of way of life that you wanted to do or is necessary, or you can live as it is or something. So for those, I think, serious practitioners, then they woke up from this mundane behavior, situation, life. They can, Buddha is waking mind. So waking from ordinary, normal kind of behavior, from negative behavior especially. If you can realize that is suffering, that is negative, that is a big kind of progress. Realize any kind of not reluctant or not fully mature, then if you one person think I'm perfect, then there's no progress. If you think I have some mistake or wrong thing or something, I should progress, then there is a change, the curse. So that's why Buddhism, not shaming oneself, but often reflect, think before fully reach enlightenment, everybody not perfect. So we should continue to cultivate. We can say our perfect is we have a potential or seed of perfect. But it's imperfect, as we said. We have a, if you think this glass cup, although there is a lot of dirt on it, still perfect, because dirt is dirt, cup is cup. From this point, you can say, not this dirt, nothing to do with that cup. So in this sense, we are perfect. Not perfect because this things are too close to that perfect, pure kind of a cup. So it's made look like a cup is something dirty. So people can accept the cup is dirty or something. So from this point of view, we should wash it and make effort to change and continuously until the original kind of primordial quality is obvious. And then here is the same in, I think it's an Indian people who lives in India. snake problems, and different flies, and also human can experience the hunger and thirst, and also used to be nowadays also too. People can have some rashes and skin irritation or even skin problems. So for this, we have to bear. In Tibet, very hard to see snake. In my life, in early life, about 14, 16 years until I also live in sometimes a full year, but a partial life, sometimes 6 months or something in the mountains. And, but only one time I saw snake. It's also small snake. If you, I think people said you get bite if bit, but you won't affect like a toxic too much. There's no danger for life. But I think I also heard some Tibetan refugee who went to India said in India they found very, very big snakes. One, I think this story may be too much time, occupying too much, but it's, I think it's a little bit over exaggerated. When I heard those snakes in India, some people say that's too very, very big. If possible, maybe in old time or no, I'm not sure. It's in South India and Southern India. One people who fled from Tibet, a monk, after he disrobed in 1959, he left. And once he said, big, big snake, he had a very small hut or something for, he heard in other people's kind of a boat, sheep and goats. And once he want to come back to his place to for sleep, but one big snake inside, and then almost like you cannot. But this person's family have a very famous name of a hero or brave mind. So he, although become monk, he had a family kind of have a lot of conflict to other people. Brave people maybe made a lot of enemy, brave families. And he fed up, and then to think this is not what he wanted to. Maybe he also, there is a danger of being killed by other people. So he eventually become monk. After people become monk, even family, two families either have some problem, but if you become monk, they never attack you in Tibet. So it's a good protection over yourself. Say, I'm monk, I don't have no business towards any kind of those conflict. And then after he disrobed in India, now I think his daughter in New York somewhere, he's passed away. But then he used, I think, used the one, Mu Chen, for burning kind of wood. Yes. You can cut a piece and you lay, how to say, you can put in front of your house or something for fire. Wood firewoods, I think it's a long, cut by piece. Mm-hmm. It's like he took one of those, and then he opened the door. He also a little bit terrified and very difficult to deal with this. He wanted to run, or he was not thinking clearly. And then he thought it's important to protect me. He don't have anything on his hand. Then this snake in first is almost like sleeping. It's big. Then I think this person is honest. But people I heard, it's not from his mouth, but he said to somebody, and then this person told me. And then he took one stick, like a long kind of big wood, And then he opened the door, and again this snake started moving towards him. And then he is using that, thinking this head is maybe very, very important. He using his full kind of energy or power to hit, and then they hit one and two or three, he will fade of this snake or raise their head. And then he, some snake also become unconscious, I think. He hit some head or something, I don't know. And then for temporary kind of unconscious seemingly. And then, he have a, not long, but a small knife for sharper these people. And then he, I think, cut that. And the description is very big. So I'm thinking in ancient India and other places, snake is one danger that caused many people's life. Like in India, I think also have a tiger or other wild animal eat human beings. That's why many prayers in a deity or some enlightened being often say eat animals can kind of terrify, attack human beings, including snake, and also some the lion or other crazy elephant also attack human beings. Just to not much power to defend. So in those situations, people can overcome. So we, as a practitioner, we shouldn't become so weak in mentally. We have to strengthen ourselves, and from internal mind, we can overcome those situations. Often have a self-confidence, not overconfident or wrong confident, but it's confident to achieve enlightenment. There is a base to do it. Confident also through practice we will progress. And confident thinking, we can continuously, if this life is in the middle, we'll pass away. But if you accumulate enough kind of teaching, wisdom, and virtues, you should have a confidence, not fearing of death or illness, this old age things. This naturally occurs, but it's not the end of the year. This is, as some teachers said, death is like changing your clothes, make a new kind of, buy new birth, new one. For them, it's not big fear, but have a more confident in future lives they can do continuously. There is a said, seeds, you have a good seeds, and then this will, kind of, how to say, good karma, good virtuous deeds, and the understanding of the teaching and Dharma, these help you strengthen yourself. And any facing any situation, you have a more angle to look and to see that is as a like Tibetan folk, Prabhupada said, everybody dies, but no one really dies. No one really end up there no more. Everybody is from this state, from this site, go to other site. It's like touring, take tourist in different life. So here it's just purely to bear kind of hardship to continue to study, to have a patience. Continue, please.
Eat and calm and wind and rain, sickness, prison, beatings. I'll not fret about such things. To do so only aggravates my trouble.
That's it. Yes, if you're weak, then you have feeling more kind of difficult. If you feel tired, your tiring also make you feel more tired. If you're weak or you have scared, then anything, small things can scare you. So you, if you kind of overcome, I think it's American one leader said, you fear, what? Fear itself or something. Only fear itself or something.
I don't know. Something like that.
There's something. Can you, I don't know.
I remember, but I don't remember too well. Nothing to fear, but fear itself.
Yes, I think it's something like that. So similarly, if you in the cold time, and when the situation and the rain seasons or these, I think if you want to continue to do anything, there is often some. If you want to excuse, there is often some excuse to avoid in any work outside or something. I think there is a story. People say one lazy person staying home or staying in their village or something like that. So people say, why you don't go to the mountain and cut wood or go to field work or do business? This person said, today is raining. So next day not raining. He said, today is too hot. The next 2 days, today is too cold. I can't do it. And then people say, what's the other kind of situation? He always say, I'm not feeling well or anything like that. I slept over otherwise something I want to do. Or tomorrow or something I will change. Today is my mistake or something. Something, there is always excuse. So here, some people, there is no excuse, even windy day, cold, hot, any time, they can say, this is my time, this is my opportunity, this is a kind of good for me to continue. My one uncle, he is a very strong, tough person. He work a lot, and for him, he said, if you have a flu, you just run faster and then flu goes away. Something like that. He's a nomad and then walking and going in the rain or sun. He said, you just need to kind of heat it up your own body and for a while run or something, working and then you forgot it and they will go away. If you feel sick and then you sleep and you feel tired or lost, dizzy, then flu will kind of catch you right away. So I think he is right. I did try this 2 times or 3 times. I think it works. I thought, this is true. Somehow, maybe not true all the time, but of course, in some cases, it's true. When fever is or something, then it's different, I think. But some other, without fever, the situation, I think if you do something, then the body, I think the system can in energetic, or I don't know exactly how it works, but it seems there is a way of changing. In flu, it's a flu. In Tibet, used to, people do, sometimes there is no medicine in the village. So they just have this is a tradition they do. I think people think this is silly or it's stupid, but it works for many times. You just have 7, I don't know why 7, not 8, but 7 barley seeds. And then you boil it, and then drink it. And this is back in my grandma or this taught me. Said, flu is easy, no worry. You just need 7 seeds, 7 barley seeds, and then you can do it. and then from there experience it. It works. I don't know how it works, but also used to people are spirit very tough, very good, very strong. If cold or something, they were laughing and working, not much feeling. Yeah, it's like that. So people very strong. And sickness, when people have a sick in prison and beat. So in those situations, people should keep spirit strong. I think in Tibet, personal kind of honor or people admire you, you can bear suffering. People admire you, how to say, if you are short-tempered, people will think you are weak or something like that. If you can practice or patience, people respect people. So it's, even you have a very big kind of burning, some of your skin very difficult, or you have a pain, or you're hungry or thirst, if people ask you, are you okay? I think no money, people say, I'm not okay. They are saying, I'm okay. Often this is their reaction automatically. So if you say, I'm not okay, become your disgrace of your own kind of name. Or so even they say, if you have wounded and then some difficult surgery or something, people are not like doing this face, twist your face. But it's calm. Yeah, sometimes it's a treatment, like a fire, make a small fire on your skin. So some people did like 80 small fire, almost like you have a candle, a small kind of course not firing, but it's a burning in your eight. So a lot of people, but people have of course it's sweating, but the not doing this, and then say, this, then it's completely ruin your own name. It's like that in Tibet. It's illogical, or not illogical, it's almost immoral, but it's working like that. And then one person, I remember, said his name is already a little bit joked by some people. He said, I think I knew him also when I was a young time. I saw this person. It's a tall person and kind of strong. He and his wife went to a doctor and they put, what's called the, use like a, 就是火灸那种, smoke. You put some, herbs, like grass, very soft grass. It's medicine, actually. Put in certain spot to see what neural goes and the flow of the blood and something. They want to block some of the neurons and then to change. That is very complex. It's almost similar, huh?
Fire waxing.
Moxie.
Fire moxie.
Some strength. It's like more like an attitude.
It's really like acupuncture, but they use the fire. They use
Put in some place, and then they can burn it, and then slowly it goes deep to your skin, that kind of. And then they will give you a permanent mark. So acupuncture is much, much better. Okay? Because they don't leave marks, and also, but the people don't care, they want a bark or something. So, but it's an effective kind of treatment. And then this lady, she came, and then the doctor also put some fire on her, some back on some shoulder. And then used to, you like shift your attention. Some people say, oh, you kind of massage your ear can help you reduce the pain, but usually there's no painkiller. One person that using this, like squeezing your head, or sometimes it's like really, really painful. Another pain, additional pain. This lady was accidentally, had some situation, I think, what's it called? Fart or something? Finally, repeat, I'm sure. Fart. Fart or fart? It's having kind of gas leaking or something. Situation. Fart. Yes, and then this lady, she also realized that. She said, oh, my husband is too kind of a person. She's saying that he did it. Her husband helping him, and she said, oh, you are making my pain, squeezing my head, it's much painer, stronger, more than that. So, and then, after this happens, so become like generation stories about it. It is silly. I think it's a normal. People have this. It's normal. I think no one say I don't have it. But in this special time, if you find this, then it's very difficult. Yeah. So used to people have a very, very tough kind of the tradition was praising those kind of heroic deeds or something. It's so in some sense it's almost against the Dharma itself. Those are kind of secular values. But I think you have to be tough, and even people are challenging you, they are beating you. And then threat put you in prison, and if you feel sad, then you have a crumbling, or you inside of yourself, you have less kind of strength and energy. Even people put saying in your bad name, don't take serious too much. If you even people say you are kind of a not intelligent or using other kind of animal to saying you are like this and that, you don't take seriously. Or even you understand that at other people angry, but you don't being angry. And if you do, then it's falling into a trap. So this is especially is talking about the way normally you have a really practice bodhicitta practice of patience. Patience, not only kind of people not nice to you, you practice patience. But while you are studying, you don't understand that theory or meaning or particular words, then phrase, you should kind of not afraid of that difficulty, continue to study and analyze and again, even some concept and to difficult, you can find the sources and other books and to go to teacher to ask, even other people say with a certain sarcastic or something, then you don't kind of take seriously those things. And then early morning, wake up to do meditation, late night, or anything kind of necessary. Even you are sick, and then even people in the prison, I think that is a good example. Many Tibetan people went to prison in 1958 and to 1978, even 80 something, 20 years, or sometimes it's 18 years. These people, especially people who understood Dharma, immense help helping prison other prisoners. and themselves also doing study and practice very well. And some people even said that those period of time is their best environment, best kind of opportunity to gain some experience, because they don't know next year I'm existed or not. Maybe being excused or died by hunger or lack of treatment, illness. So people are really truly become Dharma practitioner, you see. So some people even influence in present, they already have a full memories from heart to these teachings, including this way of Bodhisattva, they memorized continuous. Then in the present, other many texts used to into that they were in very early young age, they can memorize many texts, and even sometimes ask some for serious kind of a teacher so that you can reverse to memorize it. And that shows you kind of a really get that kind of memorized it. So in those situations, and other people will benefit, many become very serious, very deep relationship, student and the teacher relationship. Some people perform immense kind of attainment. Other people seeing that kind of a real practitioner who facing death and illness, and they'll prophesize future time. And there are many stories like that. And then it's not like used to one teacher, master from our monastery of Pai. This monk often, whatever he had the food, he eat maybe a third or two, but the rest is he doing like small puja or something to throw away. And then guard said, "Oh, tomorrow he seems not hungry enough, so tomorrow cut the half, give you him a little." And he also threw away that small partial of food. And they said, "Oh, this is, we don't have much food in those hungry times. You can kind of give them less." And then even some very small, he also threw up a little bit. This eventually, of course, this monk very famous monk, good practitioner. And then with my mother's uncle, one called Donchen, he also excused with him, three monks. And then when I was 15, 14 years old, walking on down the street, there was a making pipe, I think, underground. This first time in 1992 or 1991. And then there's not a few human bones digging out. And then they said, "Oh, what the three people were from, many people remember those excuses that in a different place, but that particular place." So, buried deep, maybe 2-3 meters deep. And then eventually this bone came out. And then there's a full kind of skull, one of the three monk killed. And then my uncle, which who now is in India, Dharamsala, he took that skull and then said, "This is a monk called Chotrimbuch. This is a Chotrimbuch's skull." And then people said, "Maybe it's not, maybe it's other Donchen's skull or something, who knows." But anyway, one of the monk, let me see, two excuse. One, I think I heard the one, it's a self kind of a permanent, self enlightenment, turn to nirvana. The people before killing excuse, people should kind of gathering and many people and then saying this person or something bad or something, they were leading of this society leader. And this time it's killing those high secular and spiritual leaders. So that's making propaganda to scare people, I think. So one monk went to that place. Many are kind of tight and very difficult. And then one person stayed there for a while and then already passed away. As I said, this is a monk who able to kind of freely choose the kind of process of death or live. So he can extinguish himself to Nirvana. That time in ancient time, many books talking about this. You can through deep samadhi meditation, and then you choose to consciousness leave this body, and then according to some many sutras, Buddha, as his disciple, many arhat, sometimes it's doing that. Big time come, and people think that is time we should go, and then our life in this, it's enough. So, arhat tend kind of those distinguish himself. That's what I said. So the one monk gives himself, he goes away, and then local officials said, oh, he is just terrified and dead. So, in this said, if you get bitten or something, in those times, people get hurt a lot. Use stone or use the knife. Sometimes there's a gun, there's a knife between, and then also using this to point in people's skin. And I'm saying, for my, some cousin, not cousin, my mother's father-in-law, this, you can see many marks on their body. Sometimes it's here or something. They said they got to stick, stabbed, and use this. Many people have a lot of marks here and broken skull, and then also here using the hand glove, and then put in a doorstep, and then people step on it, and then they go deep, and then this is still working, but you can see a lot of marks. So in those times there was good practitioners. Yeah. Also, there's some lay people are scared and then sick, homesick, or passed away earlier. But many people are able to survive. Some people, I think, some are dead, but purely hungry due to hunger problem. So anyway, that saying, if you are fragile or you are, all are not fit about such a thing. To do so, only aggravate my trouble. They said two type of people died very quickly in the concentration camp. One is people who mind weak and thinking negatively, and then just thinking we were dying, and then some people are weeping in the night, and thinking why I have all my family, or my kids, and my wife, that kind of people dying very quickly. Another type of quick is the used to rich and every day eating a lot of food, those kind of habits. They say people who the poor used to appear, they are much more able to live in those harsh times. They used to enjoy life very much and eating lots of people, that shortage of food, and then they will die. there are some those bravery increases at the sight of their own blood, while some lose all their strength and faint when it's other's blood, yet the blood they see. This also, I think Shantideva somehow also a little bit, it's kind of called the Bodhisattva. Sattva in some many different kind of explanation, but in Sattva, in Tibetan words, Bodhisattva also explained. Simpa means also brave mind. Brave mind to transform negative inner enemy, also called inner kind of negative emotions, transform, or sometimes called sense, and it's called deal with it, or able to confront your own kind of negative. And you can kind of not only brave, but it's a wisdom in it. So you can see long-term benefit and then to transform those short-sighted kind of behaviors. So in that braveness of fighting with the five poisoned, three poisoned, greed, and hatred and ignorance, and those other, it's about 84,000 different, I think it's a lot of, means lot of them, afflicted kind of thoughts and emotions. And then you have 80,000 or more kind of way to skillfully deal with it. And so in those sense, we should think real suffering occurs from inner world, internally. Your mind creates a lot of source of these good and bad is not from outside, but from inside. So from cause, you can end the suffering, cessation of suffering. That is from inner kind of work. And then this is said, if the brave mind is somehow, if there is a similar quality of a secular brave war mind, the people who can, in the war zone or wartime, some people able to continue to fight or something, even they're injured, see themselves in the blood, they can kind of become really more stronger. And then even people before war start to, people is shaking. And then they say the one due to scared very much, and then they shake their body. And then war starts, and they right away, one is shaking, but after it really happens, then they become calm and then they're able to fight. But of course there is a great danger to end their life, so of course everybody is scared. But similarly, if one type of person see blood of others already killed, or this, that's what could happen. Even not doing a fighting situation, even in a blood clinic, you can take blood. Some people could faint. It's called the Wingen. It's called the needle faint or something. I can see this kind of a spirit in Saddam Hussein. His mind, after it came from that cave, small hole, I think, and then people were insulting him, said President Bush or something sent you a message or something, I kick you or something like that, or something. And then Saddam is laying down on the ground, but he said, my shoes, or something, three times, my shoes. That means he said, President Bush said, I'll kick you, something. These words. Yeah, and he said three times, shoes means you and your family and your country not worth like my shoes or something like that. In Arabic, shoes is something that is throwing shoes after in the president. So you can see even he's on his last, what's it, leg or something, but he has a very high fighting spirit. Mm-hmm. He's not the saying, oh, now I don't have anything to say, but I think, of course, this is not a good thing to fight. Even when you're able to say those, it's meaningless, you get more hurt with people. But on the other hand, you can see, although it's, stubborn, probably, it's also heroism, it's a stubborn kind of things. And the stubborn in different way. If you study continuously, very bravely, or patience in a stubborn way, maybe it's good. It's saying, oh, yes, but you have one person, for example. If people are laughing, joking, and bullying, some little bit, and also, how to say, looking down one person, but this person never take seriously from this person. If you say your country or you or something, he is not satisfied or you have a problem, you should improve or something, you say, you look down or disagree. As we said, it make people suffer, make people discriminate, and also use these harsh words. Something, but the other side of people always try to handle this in right, proper, and in good manner and mood. Then you can see that even although this person want to make this person down, but he himself thinks the other side didn't. But the other side also using negative words, then those looks not ugly. So in patience, these are heroic kind of deeds, and you can say from third judge by third point, even this person making other people very painful, but he don't know, he is himself thinking at the same time. And then if there is a round people plus to go to this the other side, something people human is like that. So from this point of view, we can say we need those good braveries for hurt other people, injuring other people, and those, I don't think it's good. Although those self-defense, that kind of a situation is justified by law. And many people, there is a sense of rightness, but what to say? Even you are justified, but inside of a person, there must be some kind of marks, and also it's like many veterans, soldiers. Come back on the homeland, and there is some injury in mind. It's because it's not there going to jail or something to confront an enemy to a kind of a revenge to you, but you have your own mind to kind of not easy to, if you hurt people, then it's you inside of you, you have a difficult action. So in this sense, we see, so it's a good. It's a way to transform and keep good spirit. And for Buddhist everybody has a different illusion, different distortion, and different bad karma, negative karma. So, as we said, no one in samsaric beings, no one really, we have gone to different realms. We also made good karma and negative karma. It's mixed. But through dharma practice, we should kind of accumulate white karma or good karma, and then decrease negative karma. That is itself is kind of some achievement. After some certain degree of white karma is there, white deeds, then you can, you have a fortunate kind of a karmic meetings that you transcend, go beyond of good and bad. And then this is what's the Chantakirti, he said, foolish people make bad karma and then go to hell. And then foolish people doing good karma go to heaven. And the wise one go beyond, and that means liberate himself. So if all people who can see that there's a liberation, those people are brave. And if for that, if you can go to this approach or this path of liberation, then we shouldn't scare of a good and bad karma. We confess of bad karma and continue to accumulate good karma. And then every good and bad happens, we use wisdom to purify and go beyond. That is, I think, this purpose. yes, please. Yeah.
This results from how the mind is set, in steadfastness or cowardice. And so all scorn, all injury and hardships I will disregard.
From these, as we said above, some people are kind of a small vision and also have a very little tolerance. For some people have a great patience and a tolerant and a love, visions, aspirations. So for people can bear kind of a, for good reason to bear suffering or become kind of bravery or do good things, that make those two difference. And that's for us, it's a samsara. There is definitely suffering. If there is no suffering, this is not called samsara, not circling in existence. So we should say human, like six realms, and a human and an animal in the middle, and the hell, sangue, ghost, and some people call it demigod, some people call it another name. It's a semi-god, or not demigod, something like that. So God, similar, not real, but similar God, the human and the animal. We are in the middle. Other two in the top, other two on the bottom. So we have a more mix of good karma and bad karma, including animal. There is a kind of vegetation animal, and also eat other meat kind of animal. So humans are also similar. When we face some difficult, even not practicing dharma, we should, if we have a more stable mind, more, I would say, virtuous mind, then we have a more less pain, less suffering. If our mental and disturbance very big and like wavering, holocaust or something, it's that kind of a mind, then we have a more turbulent life and a more suffering, which different people think it's on, other people think not necessary. So any time we have a sick, old age, and other part from each other, or lose something, or pulling out of your rug from your feet or something, a loose situation happens, we should kind of look down with those sufferings, not make so much important of that moment of events. We think we can say, oh, this I can overcome, that is no problem. It's like business people falling bankrupt. Some people are jumping from high kind of a building, tall building. But some people will think, oh, last time I survived, I think this time I also can do it. This kind of a, each time you experience something, then you have again more confident. First, you overcome. Second, you also think you can continue to do the business and anything. If you don't do the same business, but you can survive in other form, so we should not over kind of pay over value towards something you lost. You lost, then think of this is already passing to other people and give other people. If you, somebody took your wealth, stealing, but you think, oh, if they really need it, then I should, even if he asked me, I will share and then give it. One person, I think in Chinese monk, Taiwanese monk, he said he met a lady. Yeah, she come to his place, said, my husband have a wife, other kind of a lady outside of a relationship, this relationship. So she is very suffering and crying something. He said, oh, do you have some money safe? She said, yes, I do. And how is your kids? He said, oh, they were studying in America or something. It's good. Then he said, then what were you worrying? You guys are not young anymore. Something like that. And then said, there is a, of course, this is maybe not making too much sense. But he said, do you see some people have a car, they don't use it, or house, they don't use it, they rent out. Yes, so this old age kind of guy, you should rent out to people. You think I'm already kind of, I have another house I rent out. Similarly, you think, oh, I borrow to already lend to other people to use it. To use means like, and I think in other Chinese culture, you can understand the scene saying, you a little bit twist your mind. Twist your own mind. Think, used to think, oh, he cheat me, or he kind of
cheat
me. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's he is not loyal to me. You don't think it that way, but you think, oh, I allowed him to do that. It's like people are, it's robbery. Rob your money and then you shout, I gave you, you took it. Then you think, oh, it's just a mind game. It's nothing too serious, much. So it's all like values and how you kind of traditional tell you what is right and wrong, make people feel different. If you think that bigger scale, that is nothing. So it's like similar. So now we'll stop here. So don't scared about suffering and don't make scary, those suffering stop you pursuing happiness, freedom. That is the, not, you won't destroy by suffering itself if you don't destroy yourself. Suffering is just temporary, changing, momentary, and changing situation. Dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamadra Bhadra as well, so they became Lotus Virtue, following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring by all the victorious ones throughout the three times, all the fundamental virtues are fully dedicated to practicing sublime. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy, Vandui, from strong waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From ocean of existence, may all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings be complete with the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain true sacred kindness that arises from merit and wisdom. Thank you very much. Yeah, we can finish your goal. Through this goodness, may omniscience be attained, thereby may every enemy mental defilement be overcome. May beings be liberated from the ocean of samsara, which is the trouble, sickness, and death. Thank you.